Hi, and welcome to Jesus Over Everything, a five-day-a-week variety show that mixes encouragement, the Bible, practical how-tos, and fantastic guests for the listener on the go. I'm Lisa Whittle, and I welcome you to just 5 minutes with me, which I trust and pray will be 5 minutes well spent. Kat Armstrong is back today, and man, I just genuinely like this woman. More goodness from Kat and a conversation this time. I'm just along for the ride because she's dropping truth bombs. We get into a lot in a short amount of time with this first-time author of No More Holding Back. And trust me when I say she isn't holding back, because between this new book and her Bible study and curriculum and so much more, Kat is doing great things for God. Here is our conversation between two friends. Hello, Kat Armstrong.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm excited about it. So, Kat, you are a woman of these things in my view, and I'm going to start with the fluff to the meaty. You have perfect eyebrows. You have great hair. You have a cool name. You have a fierce commitment to speaking up for women, and you have a commitment to God's word. That's how I see it.
Oh, that makes me happy. I feel like I need to go check my brows really quickly and bring my Bible over to the desk to live up to this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're a lot of things, actually. You're a wife and a mom and now an author, and you're a speaker, and you run an organization called Polished. I'm wondering, are you someone that is good at soul care in the midst of all of that? Are you good at like setting boundaries and resting, or not so much?
I think so. I mean, this morning would be a great example. I'm like, yay, Holy Spirit. She asked me this question on this day. I think if you had asked me last week, I would have said, Lisa, I am failing in this area. My body is failing me. I'm so tired. My family is not loving how much I've been traveling. But, you know, I think it just depends on the week you catch me. I try really intentionally. So last night is a good example. I turned my phone off, which I never do, and kept it off until about 10 minutes before this interview and went to the gym. Spend some time in the Word. That's not my everyday. It's not. I know that people do that, and I think that's incredible. But I think I'm getting much better at boundaries. And I think part of that is now that I've got a six-year-old, he actually is pretty good at telling me when I need to rest. He may not use those words, but I can tell from his behavior when his emotional tank is low. Those are kind of the signs for me where I need to take a breath.
Yeah, I think families, kids especially, are very good at sort of putting us in check about things like that. It's a great benefit to us. We don't always like it at the time, but it's really important. And I think you're right. It's some days we do better at these things, at boundaries and the soul care, and some days we don't do as well. And so I'm glad you said that, because I feel like that's a really honest assessment of yourself, and then also makes me feel like, oh yeah, okay, so I do well sometimes, and sometimes I don't do as well. And that's just a reality for a lot of us. So you're releasing your first book. Congratulations about that, by the way, because that's a big deal, Kat.
Lisa, you are just one of those people. You encourage everyone around you. I was so looking forward to this interview because I thought I'm actually going to get to spend some time with this incredible woman. Thank you. I'm really excited too. I'm a little nervous. I feel like I'm naked in Times Square on some days. And then other days, I'm tired of reading those words because I've been reading or working on them for years. And you know how that goes.
Yes.
But yeah, so No More Holding Back. It comes out July 9th, and it's like a big old birthday in my future.
It is. It's very exciting. I'm so happy for you. I'm really excited about the book. No More Holding Back is the name of it, like you said. And the subtitle is Emboldening Women to Move Past Barriers, See Their Worth, and Serve God Everywhere. It's a big, beautiful promise. And I had the honor of endorsing it and reading it early. And I talk about in there, in my endorsement, how I wish that I had that book when I was starting off in ministry. And I really do, because I think what you have laid out there could have really encouraged me. I'm grateful we have the book now. I think it's an important resource. I wish I'd had it back then. But the first thing I want to know from you is this. Why do you think that women have historically felt held back? Because I do believe it's something that we have felt.
Yeah, I think it really resonates, this message, with any woman, no matter their age, stage, ethnicity, industry, you name it. It really seems to be something people are grabbing on. Why have women historically felt held back? I mean, I think they have been held back in society in general. Historically, we could look at that. We could talk about history. But as far as on a personal level for me, I think it was a combination of factors. I mean, I think like any woman who follows you or listens to the show, we struggle with insecurity. So there is something deep inside of me that is always questioning, am I supposed to be here? Is this okay? Am I doing as much as I should? Have I done too much? You know, I think we all struggle with that internal commentary and maybe a little bit of imposter syndrome. It seems to be a little bit worse for women than it is men, although our brothers in Christ do also struggle with insecurities like that. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it was maybe the church culture that I was raised in. And you've got to hear me on this. I've known all my life what it's like to have my brothers and sisters in Christ in my corner, cheering for me, encouraging me to love God more, to pursue him. So I don't want anyone to feel like, wow, she's got a real bone to pick. But I do think that there were parts of the teaching and the platforms that I was watching and the culture, church culture, that perpetuated some insecurities I already had inside of me. And then I think history is not on our side on this one. I think we've got a lot of theologians, great early church fathers that had deeply embedded gender bias towards women, and it comes through in their teaching, and that has impacted us. So I think between the three factors, ourselves, the church messages, and then maybe our faith history, you combine the three and a lot of women do feel concerned. You know, what am I supposed to be doing with my life?
Yeah, I love that you're speaking into it and being honest about it, because, you know, it doesn't do any of us any good to pretend that these things don't exist, pretend that it's not real. You're being honest about it. And it's important, because I think women need other women to speak up about things that we're feeling, thinking, experiencing. And one of the things that I appreciate about you, Kat, and I appreciate about the book, is that I do not sense a chip on your shoulder. I do not sense that you have some kind of vendetta or you have some kind of agenda that you're trying to get out there as you fight for kind of a lack of a better phrase, fight for women. Actually, that's not a bad phrase. Fight for women or advocate for women or whatever you're doing in the book. This is important. This is our gender. This is, you know, Jesus has such a heart for women that you're just coming alongside his message. And so I appreciate that so much. But what I also appreciate deeply is that you don't have that chip on your shoulder, because one of the things that I really feel strongly about is we don't need leadership out there that is, you know, preaching things that is coming from a place of damage or coming from a place of coming against something else. And that's not what you're doing in this book. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I mean, I can't say that there hasn't been a chip on my shoulder in the past or in moments or in seasons in my spiritual journey. And I think by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the love of my brothers in Christ and the men who just continue to pour into my life and cheer me on and support the work of my ministry, my husband for sure, some of my board members, absolutely, and then my church elders, church leadership, I'm telling you, I've got an incredible support system. And I think that's what keeps you from becoming bitter. Because if you feel church hurt, if your insecurities get a hold of your future, if they, you know, keep you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life, it is easy to get to a place that's super, super negative. And so I'm trying to hold intention in my book. There is definitely, I think people feel a tension. And then at the end of each chapter, hopefully there's a little bit of relief of we need to feel some challenge in this area. We want women to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, because Jesus wanted that for us. So we got to challenge ourselves to do more in that area and be honest about it.
Well, yeah. And you're not talking about an easy topic. So, you know, it's not like you've just come into a really tension-less topic. And so we can expect some type of tension in a subject that is tension-filled and is something that we are discussing in society. But we have to get somewhere, and we can't keep talking around issues that are hard. We need to talk about race. We need to talk about gender. We need to talk about all of these things. We need to get healthy in the body of Christ. And so these discussions are important. And so Are they hard? Sure. But the hard issues and the hard topics are the ones that I think produce the biggest fruit. And so I find that very important. So let's get into one of the common myths about women, that our greatest joy is marriage and our highest calling is motherhood. I do believe this is something a lot of women feel. And also what you point out in the book, something the church often perpetuates, because we operate with assumptions. We build things, programs, and we kind of cater to this idea, this assumption that everyone that comes to church is married or has kids. And it's a wrong assumption. It's actually a pet peeve of mine, to be honest, and yours too. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think, Kat, it's a dangerous myth, this myth that our greatest joy is marriage and our highest calling is motherhood. And what it is really that we put our faith in roles, right? Mm-hmm. So do you agree, first of all, that it's kind of a dangerous myth? And if so, why?
Oh, yes. I think it's so harmful to the body of Christ. I think our sisters in the faith who are single, I think our brothers in the faith who are single, I think women struggling with infertility that cannot have the family they envision for themselves, they're in a really painful spot, and we have the opportunity to step into that pain and help alleviate it. But many times we don't. And so I'm trying to just become more aware myself, honestly, on this, but I feel really convicted about it. I do think it's harmful to all of us, not just to women, but to our brothers as well. You know, I have been married for, I guess it's 17 years this year, to the love of my life. And I love being married. And then I've got a 6-year-old kiddo. I love being a mom. But I think I got really close to elevating those two roles. And I think the other dangerous part is that we don't know what's next in life for us. We don't know the beautiful things God has planned for us, the hardships we're going to face. And we kind of have to hold loosely what we call roles and titles, because at any point we may need to do something different in our lives. And I think I've just seen that recently with my mom, losing her husband and my father, and being a widow now. And so, you know, we got to look at this and go, do we value a season of womanhood that is being a widow as much as we value women in their early childbearing years? And I'm not sure that we do. I don't think that I did. And so I can say that, at least confessionally. And then I think on a macro level, I don't think we do a great job of it in the church. I think we're trying, but we got a long way to go.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, and I think it's important, and I'm glad you dive into it, into the book. A lot of women, I think, too, grapple with women preaching in the church. I have had people ask me about this on many occasions in a lot of private messages.
Sure.
This is a big one. We don't have time to unpack this in the next few minutes, I know. But what I'd love to know from you on this is, rather than debate this topic, because this could be debated on and on and on, and it's being debated, what I would like to do is say, what question do we need to ask ourselves about it? Because ultimately, this is an issue that we've got to reconcile between us and God. Every issue is. It's what do we believe according to what we read in the Word, what we speak to the Lord about, how we have to reconcile what we believe with the Lord. We're going to face Him one day. So I think the better thing is to ask ourselves a question. What do we need to ask ourselves about this so we can reconcile what we believe that God intends in this issue? Can you speak into that for a minute? Because I know you're asked about this a lot. I know that this is, for you, something that you have really kind of gotten into in discussion.
Oh, for sure. I send people, when they ask me, I send them a text message that's got a picture of like 14 different books. And I literally say something like, start here. you know, start here. And I think what I learned from that season of study and looking at the gender debate and the scriptures is that godly people that I love and respect think differently on it. And so you're right. It really is something we've got to go to the Lord to. We got to go to the scriptures, figure out what we think about it, and try to put that in practice as best we can while honoring our leadership that's around us and submitting to our authorities. Yeah, when it comes to, okay, what questions do we need to ask ourselves? I'm gravitating towards some scriptures that Jesus himself elevates, or that the church in its history has elevated. So things like the Great Commission, you know, go therefore mm-hmm. and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them everything. And so I look at that verse and instead of saying, can a woman preach in a pulpit or do this or do that? I rather look at that verse and go, am I really living out the Great Commission? If I were asked to baptize someone, would I do it based on the scripture? And if I were encouraged to teach people everything that Jesus taught in the scriptures, would I do it? And I'm trying to be more faithful to that particular verse because some others are so confusing. They're confusing to me. And so I'm not sure I'm going to figure them out. A lot of really brilliant minds haven't completely figured them out either. But I am, I'm really convinced that the greatest commandment, Jesus himself says, you know, there's all sorts of commandments in the New Testament, but he says this one's the most important. So I'm trying to go, do I love God with my mind and my strength as much as I do with my heart and soul? And so my questions aren't so much about if women can preach anymore. It's more, am I living up to the Great Commandment? Am I living up to the Great Commission? And then I think secondarily, Paul's instructions in multiple places talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm at a place right now where I could say confidently, women can't be too good at leading. Women can't be too good at preaching. Women can't be too good at any of the gifts of the Spirit. You fill in the blank. But I had to go to those passages and write out, do an inventory of all the spiritual gifts that Paul lists out and go, do I think women can do these things? And we do a disservice to the body of Christ if we deny that the Spirit of God is the same in our brothers as it is in us. Now, how that plays out, that's up for debate. But I do think that we can find a lot of freedom and a lot of peace when we focused on Great Commandment, Great Commission, exercising our gifts. We will feel a lot of freedom.
That's really wise, Kat. And I think you're exactly right in the sense of we don't even realize sometimes how influenced we are by denominational lines, by the way that we have, you know, been indoctrinated, by even things we've been taught as we've grown up. There are brilliant minds that don't agree on scriptures, the same scriptures, you know, and they have equally poured into the same scripture and come up with different conclusions. We are not sovereign. We are not omniscient. That alone, that distinction alone belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And until we get to heaven, we won't have all our questions answered. But we do have certain things in the Word that are clear as far as the Great Commission and things like that. And so you're right. And I think there are also some things that common sense needs to be applied to, in my opinion, as far as our creation. Just go back to the core of our creation, how God has created us individually, and there is no favoritism between God. I mean, there are just some really core basic things that I go back to and I cling to when I look at what does God want me to do with my life? You know, he has gifted me and he has given me a body and a singular purpose. And, you know, I take that real seriously. And so I just think we have a lot of parameters that have a lot to do with just different belief systems, even based on denomination. And we need to really think a little bit more about that. So that's a whole nother show. But
have me back for that one.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to because I know you've studied this intensively and I appreciate that about you. This show is called Jesus Over Everything. It's a priority order, really. And I wonder if you could tell us what that looks like for you, Kat, in your daily life, not kind of defining what you think Jesus Over Everything means, because we really know that, but how does that play out for you in your daily life, in what you do in a very real sense, kind of every day? Because this is hard for all of us to put Jesus first and put him in that place. But I wonder what that looks like for you.
Oh, I feel so grateful for grace right now. This is a lifelong journey that God forgives us when we don't get this right. Because this is hard. This is hard work, putting Jesus over everything. Right now, I'm in the book of Mark. So I'm spending some real intentional time almost every day looking at the book of Mark, traveling through, getting ready for Easter. And I am just constantly amazed at how different his kingdom is than mine. The kingdom I'm building here, the organization I'm building here. It's just so different. He values people who can't give him anything, like children who are completely dependent on him. And he weeps with people that are really in pain. And he values people not for what they're going to give him. And I just am blown away right now in the scriptures. And so I think on a daily basis, I'm looking at Polished, my organization that gathers young professional women to navigate career and explore faith together. And I'm looking at how we're building that. We're expanding pretty rapidly. Our staff is growing. And man, there is one way to approach a work meeting with my staff, which is strategic development, bullet out a list, and let's execute until we have like changed the world. And then I flip open to the pages of Mark. And there's Jesus again, going to Bethany to go into the sick, go into the poor, not going to the people with money that can better the organization. It's just, it's such a radically different way to live. And I'm trying to sort it out. How do I live like Jesus when our whole world is constructed differently? And so it's a challenge. I need to learn better how to do it, but I do find that Jesus over everything makes him so beautiful. It makes him so, I'm just like this real Jesus in the real Bible. He is awesome.
Yeah. Gosh, I feel like I just went to church and I love it. Mark, that's awesome. And thank you for that. I think that is a great encouragement. It's a great encouragement to my heart. And I know the listeners as well to dive into, you know, the realities of, yes, our life every day, it's hard to put Jesus over everything. Mm-hmm. But in the same sense, it is the most beautiful life and it is the life of the right priority order. So it makes sense that it was the life that would work, right? Mm-hmm. So quickly, I want us to just do a couple of light and fun questions so people can get to know you. They love the real life stuff.
Okay, bring it on.
Here we go. Here we go at the end. What is your favorite color?
Fuchsia.
I could have guessed that with your lipstick. You have the best fuchsia lipstick in this world. Also, you have fuchsia on your cover. Did you get to be a part in that or no?
Gosh, they were so good to me. Yeah, I had a lot of say in that. I love the cover. But yes, I love that bold pink color.
It's so pretty. And it looks so good on you with your hair. If you haven't seen a picture of Kat, you need to go look her up real quick because she's got this gorgeous jet black hair and this now the fuchsia lipstick against it is so beautiful. Okay. Speaking of hair, what is a hair product you cannot live without? Because you have this gorgeous mane of curly black hair. What hair product can you not live without?
It's called Fave 4 Curls. It's like this stuff that you put in after. It's the only thing I put in there. And then I use a diffuser, but it's called Fave 4 Hair. And I love it. It's their curl cream.
Okay, we'll have to link that. Can you get that on Amazon by chance?
Because
if I can't buy it on Amazon, I can't buy it.
I know. It's so true, isn't it?
Right?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon.
Okay, we're going to link that in the show notes. And for all you curly hair people, you must go get it. Because when you see Kat's hair, you'll be like, oh, I have to have the hair product. All right, World Market or Pier 1?
World Market. Praise of the food. The food.
Oh, I love World Market for so many reasons. And it's one of those places where I forget about it, but then I go in there and I'm like, I could buy 4 million things in here.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Who is your current favorite author? And I know you're a reader, so this is probably hard to narrow down, but like, do you have a current favorite?
Oh, this is so hard. I'm really into Ben Witherington right now. Gosh, and I don't want to use this opportunity to not highlight a woman.
No, that's okay. You read women all the time. By the way, I know you are pro women all the way, but look, we got to throw a dude a bone here now. What are you reading of his?
Right now he wrote a commentary called The Gospel of Mark. And so I'm using it as I go through the book of Mark, but he, you know, his wife is one of his editors and they work as a team. And I love him. I love everything he has to say.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love the team thing. That's neat.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to link that too. All right. What is the best thing about Polished events?
Oh, the women. I mean, the community. Yeah. The community. You walk in that room and these women, oh, Lisa, they are like the creme de la creme, just the caliber of leadership that we have. I'm always amazed. And then what happens is they build this beautiful community where everybody is welcome. Everyone's a part of our family and we're going to talk about real things. So yeah, the women, could attend.
I believe it. Where are all the polished events? You have different places, right?
Yeah, we've got a region in Texas that's got 6 chapters. We've got 1 in Oklahoma, and we're going to start LA and DC, hopefully in the fall. And we're planning to have 100 chapters by 2025. So if someone listening wants to start a chapter, you know, let them reach out to me because we're ready.
That's amazing. Well, I have every belief that that will happen. I know you're having lots of growth and for good reason. It's amazing. What is the number one quality that you look for in a mentor?
Compassion. I really need more compassion. I think the digital age and how quick we can be with our snarkiness, and I'm talking about myself, I need a mentor that is really level-headed and super compassionate. I want to be more like that.
That's so good. All right. What's your favorite Dallas hole-in-the-wall restaurant?
I think they're kind of a chain here, but not a lot of people know about it. Mariano's has the very best chips and salsa, margaritas, and fajitas. Oh my goodness.
Nice.
Yes.
And that's saying a lot because Dallas has a lot of great chips and salsa places.
For sure. It's like churches here in Texas. There's one on every corner. There's a chips and salsa place. But yeah, Mariano's is kind of next level. You got to try it out when you're here.
I will. I'm coming. I'll be there at the end of the month. So I'm like, I've got to hit that up. All right. So here's the last question, Kat. I always ask every guest, what's the last thing you would say about Jesus if you could only say one last thing?
He's so compassionate. He wants to step into our pain. And I'm just watching him do it through the book of Mark. He really cares about what we go through. And he went through things that we assume nobody else has experienced. He really understands. And he's so willing to be right next to us when we're hurting and when we're sad. And so I think we talk so much about Jesus and his victory, and I cannot wait for Easter. I mean, it's coming. It's so soon right now. But yeah, he wants to step into our pain.
I love that about Jesus too. Thank you so much for coming on, Kat. This has been a beautiful discussion, and I can't wait to have you back on and do it again.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Make sure to subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you won't miss a single show.